Hey, Reach Paramount, welcome to our podcast. We really hope this message encourages and challenges you as you walk with the Lord every day. Enjoy this message.
Man, are you guys excited to be in the house of the Lord tonight? You guys can be seated. Thank you. Man, I'm excited to be here at Reach Church. Man, I'm just so proud of our worship team, man. How many of you guys are excited for that new song? Man, I'm proud of them. I'm honored to be on this team as well. So I know they putting in a lot of work for that song, and so we're excited to finally announce it. But honestly, I feel like there's no better place to be at than at Reach Church on a Wednesday night. How many of you guys believe that? Honestly, I'm always honored to have the opportunity to share and minister on this platform. If you guys don't know, my dad is the lead pastor. My parents, Pastor Omar and Sister Letty. And so I honor them not only as my parents, but as my pastors as well. It's always a blessing to be able to be a part of the pastoral staff here at Reach Church. I have to honor all the pastors here, Isaac, Lizzie, Rob, Carly, John and Christina, and Peter and Danielle. Honestly, I have to honor them always, and I have to honor my beautiful wife, Linda, right there. I want to honor my daughter as well. We just celebrated her second birthday, and so we have a two-year-old now. A wild two-year-old, if you know Natalie. She's keeping my wife on her toes, and so I want to thank her for watching my daughter and releasing me to study for this message. But I'm excited for tonight. I'm really blown away by what God is doing here at this church. If you don't know, last month we had a tremendous time with our Holy Week, right? We had Good Friday, we had Palm Sunday, Easter. This past Sunday we had Pastor Mike, and we've had a tremendous time. A lot of new families, a lot of visitors, a lot of people coming to church. But the most amazing thing that happens almost every service is people are still giving their lives to Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, man, there's still power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's still power in his redemption. There's still power in his grace. And if you don't know already, God is doing something. God is doing something in this church, and I believe he's getting us prepared for something even now. I love the scripture in Isaiah chapter 43. It says this, "But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I'm about to do something new." I believe God is telling us here at Reach Church, forget what I've done in this church. Forget all the great and amazing things that I've done, because it's nothing compared to what I'm going to do in this church. I really believe God is getting us prepared for something great. I believe God is getting us prepared for a great move of revival. And I really feel in my spirit that if we as Christians continue to pursue the Lord, if we continue to put him first, if we continue to be obedient, then we'll see the promises and blessings of God be poured out like never before. See, this past week, as I was preparing for my message, the story in Joshua chapter 6 just kept coming to me. And I love this story. I don't know if any of you have ever read it, but it's a story about the walls of Jericho. This is a story of faith. It's a story of obedience. It's a story of breakthrough for the nation of Israel. And it's a story where God promised a land to the nation of Israel, and he was faithful to fulfill it. If you've ever read your Bible, you will see time and time again where God makes a promise and he's faithful to fulfill it. It says there's over 8,000 promises in the Word of God. And in fact, over 7,000 promises are God to us, from God to us. And I believe tonight, my message is very simple, that we start to believe in the promises of God again. That we would truly believe that we serve a God who is faithful and true to his Word. You see, because I believe that a lot of people in this room have forgotten about the promises that God has given you. I believe there's so many of us, so many things in our life that we once believed in that Jesus would do for us. But now we've taken a step back in our walk with God. Now our faith is not as strong because maybe there's circumstances and trials that may have gone in our way. And I believe too many of us are forgetting what God has promised us. So tonight, I'm here to remind you
that you serve a God who is faithful. That God is faithful to his word. That God will never let us down. That he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That he's a God of the promise. I want you guys to turn your Bibles to John chapter 6. And I'm going to read a good portion of scripture. I say this to my youth all the time. It's probably as much scripture as you read all year. And so I'm going to read Joshua. I'm going to read a good amount of scripture tonight. Joshua chapter 6. And we'll skip some verses so that way we can get the point across. So Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 2. It says, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho to your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of rams horned before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him.' So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord.' And he said to the people, 'Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord.'" Jump down to verse 10. "But Joshua commanded the people, 'You shall not shout or make your voice heard. Never shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout.' So he caused the Ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord." Jump down verse 14. "And the second day they marched around the city once and returned into the camp. So they did for 6 days. And on the 7th day they rose early at the dawn of day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" Verse 20, we're ending with this. "So the people shouted and the trumpets were blown. And as soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up to the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city." See, tonight my prayer is this, that you guys leave this building believing for God to do the impossible again. Believing for things again that you once gave up on. My prayer is that we see the promises of God be fulfilled in our life. And if we don't see it yet, I pray that we have the faith to see it through. You see, I believe Joshua was able to see the promise be fulfilled in his life because of 3 things. He chose to have faith in the promise. He chose to be obedient in the promise. And lastly, he chose to persist in the promise. Why don't you guys pray with me tonight? So, Father, we thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for tonight, Lord. God, I ask, Lord, that every word that I speak, God, that they would hear your voice and not mine. Father, I pray, Lord, that your presence would be here even now. Lord, that you would be the center of our attention, God. Father, we pray that you would get all the glory tonight and all the honor, Father. And Lord, that we would leave this building differently, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would open up our eyes to believe in you again, Jesus. And Father, we pray that you'd help the sound, help the mic, in Jesus' name. Amen. I know you guys are working back there to help my mic, so how many of you guys appreciate the sound team? We love the sound team. I know they're trying their best to get it going. If you guys can give me more monitor, that'd be great. Daniel, be ready to come back up, okay? Everyone give it up for Daniel. If you don't know, that's my brother-in-law. I married his sister, and so, yeah, you guys can give, yeah, that's awesome. But as we read this whole story in the Bible in Joshua chapter 6, I really love this story. I grew up listening to the story in Sunday school. If you guys don't know, I watched the VeggieTales about it. I did it all, right? But you have to understand some context about why this story is so important. You have to understand some context to really understand how great of a miracle this actually was. You see, the city of Jericho was not some random city in the land of Canaan. In fact, it was the gateway city of Canaan. This city is built with walls that were surrounding it, walls that were up to 25 feet high and 20 feet wide. We even read in the Bible that people even lived inside the walls. Soldiers that stood on top of the walls could see for miles. Jericho was regarded as one of the best defended cities in all of Canaan and the most difficult to conquer because of how it was built. It was a symbol of military strength and power. You see, the Canaanites even considered it invincible. Now, with this in mind, this land, this fortified wall, you have to understand that this was the promised land that God had given Israel. This is the land that they've been wandering 40 years for. This is the land that God had promised him. And yet now, in order to conquer this land, they have to go up against the most defended city in all of Canaan, in which their walls were impenetrable. Not only that, they are told that they have to go and conquer this city in the most impossible way by marching around and shouting. It's almost impossible that the Israelites are going to receive victory over Jericho through this method. I began to think to myself, man, if I was told to go walk around a building and it was going to fall flat, I don't know if I'd believe it. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I believe that this wall that's 20 feet high and 20 feet wide, that it would fall crumbling down if I just walked around it and shouted. You can almost imagine that some of the Israelites might have felt that way. Some of the Israelites might have felt like, man, I don't think this is possible. Man, there's no way that we can conquer Jericho. Man, this is the end of us. But let me tell you, Joshua had a different perspective. Joshua chose to have faith in the promise that God gave him. And I'm here to encourage you that in order to see the promise of God be fulfilled in your life, in order to see the walls fall down, you have to be willing to trust and believe in the promise even when it seems impossible. I'm here to tell you today, there is no real Christian here today who hasn't completely trusted God with their life at one point or the other. I can look around this room and I can guarantee you that every pastor, every leader in here has had to give all of their faith and put all their trust in Jesus at one point or another. I can tell you that there's times where they didn't know how they're going to get through a situation. I can tell you there's times that they don't know how they're going to pay rent. There's times where they don't know if they're going to be able to get through something, but they put their faith in Jesus. I look in my life and there's times in my life where I didn't think that I'd be able to go through it. There's times in my life where I even look at my marriage. There's times I didn't believe that we'd be able to get through it. I remember going to Pastor Isaac and saying, Pastor Isaac, there's no way that we're going to overcome this. There's no way that I can get through this. And every time I would tell him, he would tell me something very simple. We're just going to trust God. We're just going to believe that God is faithful. You know, I tell my dad this all the time, and Dad, I don't know how I'm going to be able to buy a house in California. Come on, am I the only one here? Dad, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this. Dad, I have so many doubts that I'm going to be able to get through these certain things. And you want to know what he tells me? Everyone knows his famous words. We're just going to trust God. That's the best advice that my dad can give me. But let me tell you, every single time I had a doubt in my mind, every time that I told my dad, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. You want to know what he would do? He would tell me to trust God, but not only that, he would tell me to turn to the Word of God. Because it's in the Word that we find refuge. It's in His Word that we find His promise. See, in Ephesians chapter 3, He promises to strengthen you. Matthew 11, He promises to give you rest. Philippians 4, He promises to take care of all your needs. Matthew 7, He promises to answer your prayers. Joshua 1, He promises to be with you. Romans 8, He promises to work everything out for your good. Psalms 91, He promises to protect you. Yet why are so many Christians? Why are we choosing not to believe? Got quiet in here. Why are there so many Christians failing to believe in the promises of God? Why are so many Christians jumping ship? We have so many Christians who are trying to create their own promise, trying to fulfill their own promise without allowing God to actually fulfill it in their lives. It's because many of us are failing just to even read His Word. And because we fail to read His Word, we fail to believe His Word. And because we fail to believe His Word, we forfeit the promises of God over our life. My question is, how many promises are we not seeing be fulfilled in our lives because we simply fail to believe that God will fulfill it? Wow. How many of you have given up on your family because you've been praying too long for them? How many of you have given up breakthrough in your marriage because he's not changing or she's not changing ever? How many of you have allowed your relationship with Jesus to be hindered because nothing is ever changing in your life? Because your situation looks like Jericho, where it's a fortified city and there's no way of conquering it. See, Joshua could have looked at all the negative things. He could have looked at this fortress and figured out it was impossible to conquer. He could have made up his mind right then and there that he wasn't going to do it, and that would have been the end of the Israelites. He would have forfeited the promise of God right there if he gave into his thoughts, if he gave into his feelings. And I love what God tells Joshua. It says, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. God told Joshua that Jericho was already delivered into his hands, that the enemy was already defeated. And you want to know what Joshua did? He immediately believed. Why? Because of who was talking to him. He chose to believe the voice of God. It's because he said it that he believed it. And I believe some of you in this room have been believing the wrong voices tonight. The enemy has been whispering lies into your ears, planting seeds of doubt and discouragement, and some of you have even accepted those lies. Some of you believe that freedom is beyond your reach, that the addictions and sin in your life will never be broken, that your family salvation is an impossibility, that your kids will never be saved. It even says in the Word of God that Satan is a lie. He says he's the father of lies. And yet so many of you have allowed the enemy to rob you of the very promises that God wants to give you. You see, the only way that you can overcome those lies is with the Word of God. When the enemy tries to convince you that you're a failure, in Romans 8 it says that you're more than conquerors. When the enemy tries to convince you that your kids will never be saved, Proverbs says, point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. Yeah, when he tells you that you'll never be free from this addiction or free from sin, Romans 6:22 says, but now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do these things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. It's only through the Word of God that we can have faith and believe in the promises of God. It's only by his voice. His voice is the only voice that matters. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. I'm here to encourage you tonight. Some of you in this room need to stop allowing other voices to dictate what you do. Stop allowing the voice of your feelings. Stop allowing the voice of fear. Stop allowing the voice of finances. Even the voice of your family to dictate what you do. Because let me tell you, in the end, if you allow yourself to listen to other voices besides the voice of God, you will forfeit the very promises and blessings that God has for you in your life. Joshua chose to have faith in the voice of God. He chose to have faith in the promise. He chose to believe his word. I love what it says in Psalms 145:13. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises, for he is gracious in all that he does. See, the reason why Joshua was able to see the promise of God be fulfilled in his life was because he chose to have faith in the promise, and he chose to be obedient in the promise. You see, when God told Joshua that he was going to give Jericho over to them, he was very specific in what to do. It says in verse 3 through 5, you shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets, trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down. That's very specific on what to do. And you see, God chose to be very specific in how it was to be conquered. Why? You see, God could have easily just broke the walls down with no problem. Without any help of the Israelites, he could have demolished it at the sound of his voice. But he chose to do this because if Israel conquered Jericho by this plan, the only explanation for their victory would be the work of God. Sometimes in order for us to see God's promise fulfilled in our life, in order for us to see breakthrough in our life, God will require us to actively participate in his plan. God doesn't need us. God could have conquered Jericho. He could have conquered any nation that he wanted to. But he chose us to be part of his word. It's in your obedience to his word. It's in your participation in his plan that you'll see breakthrough and you'll see the promises of God in your life. God will wait for us to be obedient before he even acts. Let me ask you today, are you being obedient? See, because I believe some of us are not seeing the promises of God. We're not seeing the blessings of God over our life because we simply are failing to be obedient to his word. So many Christians are changing what they want to believe. They're choosing what to obey. They're choosing what they want to be part of their life. That's why you see so many deconstructing the word of God. They're examining and analyzing scripture and discovering if it still holds the same truth and impact like it did before. People are looking into the Bible now and they're questioning if Jesus really meant what he said. They're questioning, well, did Jesus really mean that I have to obey him? Did he really mean that I can't do this and I can't do that? Did he really mean that fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, homosexuals, thieves, drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God? Did he really mean for that to not happen in my life? Or was he just saying that for that specific time? He didn't really mean it because this is a different time now. Maybe God didn't mean it for this period of time. And so many Christians are being lied to. And they're being robbed of the very promises that God has for us. Because you simply fail to obey his word. So many of you guys are being swayed from one view to the next. And all it's doing, it's producing people who will one day find themselves on the opposite side of the fence. Will one day find themselves an enemy of the Father. Why? Because you refuse to be obedient to his word. If you say you're a follower of Christ, then your life is going to produce obedience. If you say you love the Lord, then your life would show that. It says in the word of God, you will know them by their fruit. What kind of fruit are you producing tonight? James 1:22, it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and forgets what he looks like. I've become tired of seeing Christians come to service every Friday, every Saturday. See them come and sit in the same spots every single service. And their lives are still the same. No change in their life. Still got the same attitude like they came in. Still dealing with the same sins and addictions that they did years ago. And there's no real change. There's no real obedience in their life. And all they're doing is forfeiting the blessing and promises of God. My prayer is that's not you tonight. And if it is you, my prayer is that you'd come back. See, God wants to bless you. He wants to give you victory in your life. He wants to see you overcome any obstacle. He wants to see you have a life and a life more abundantly, but you have to be willing to be obedient in the promise. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 2, it says, "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Your obedience to God will lift you up in every single situation. It's not just action that will cause you blessing, but it's the act of obedience to his word that will cause you to be blessed and see the promises of God be fulfilled in your life. I'm going to have Daniel come up. Where are you at? Thank you, Daniel. Everyone give it up for Daniel as he comes back. You see, I'm ending with this. Joshua and the people of Israel seen a complete victory of Jericho because they were simply faithful to the promise. They simply obeyed the promise, and they simply persisted in the promise of God. For 6 days, they were to march around the city one time. And on the last day, they were to march around seven times and release a great shout. You see, in order for the nation of Israel to march around it seven times and shout, they first had to march six times before that. You can imagine how they must have felt maybe on the first day. They walked around, and if they're anything like me, I would walk around that building one time and I would look to see if there's a little crack. I would look to see maybe something shifted in it. And unfortunately, it doesn't say in the Word of God that that happened. So what do? They kept going. I think every day I would look to see if there was some change in the building. There was some change in the walls. Maybe they thought they'd see something happen to give them some sort of faith to do it. But nothing. They might have even questioned God if he was going to be able to do it because of what they seen in the reality. But one thing that we read in the Bible is that they kept going. The people of Israel persisted even when nothing was happening. And on the seventh day, we understand that the walls came down. But I'm here to tell you, it was only because of their persistence and their consistency that led them to see breakthrough and victory over Jericho. Every day they finished walking around their walls, they were one step closer to their victory. Every day they walked around their walls, and it was a small victory in their life. Every day they chose to be faithful. Every day they chose to be obedient. Every day they chose to persist. They chose to be faithful in the small things. Even when nothing was happening, day after day that they walked around, they persisted to keep walking. They kept being consistent. Could it be that some of you are on the brink of your victory? Could it be that some of you are on day six of marching? That all you have to do is just go one more day? Could it be that it's the little things that you're doing every day, choosing to be faithful, choosing to be obedient, choosing to be persistent, that you will receive your victory? Luke chapter 16, one who is faithful in very little is faithful in much. Pastor Isaac and my dad talk about it all the time. It's compound consistency. It's the more you do the everyday life, the little things that you do in the small. Consistently reading your word. Consistently praying, consistently coming to church, consistently serving. Don't you understand that God is building up your endurance? That God is building you up as a Christian so that one day when it's time to shout, that you're ready to go. You want to know why some of you haven't changed? Why some of you have been in the same position for years in your walk with God? It's probably because you haven't been consistent in the small things. You want to see walls fall down in your life, but you're not willing to walk day one. Some of you want to see God move in your life. You want to be on this platform, but you're not willing to usher on a Wednesday night. Everyone wants the breakthrough. We want the blessing. We want the promise of God, but we're not willing to walk the first 6 days. And it's only in the persistence in his promise. It's the little things. It's the little things that will get us the victory. Some of you want these big things. You want to see God give us blessing of finances. You want to be millionaires, but you can't even give to your tithes. We want to see all these different things, but all this God is requiring of you is just be consistent in the small things. Be faithful in his word. Say no to sin. Read his word. Pray. Come to church. Serve. People complicate it so much. We think we need to be perfect when we come to the Lord. We think we need to have our lives together. I'll tell you what, when I came to the Lord, I did not have my life together. But it was the faithful, it was the little things that God began to build me up. Saying yes every day. Yes, I'll be here. Yes, I'll do this. Saying yes to the Lord, saying no to sin. Being consistent in my walk with God, being consistent in worshiping and praying and reading, that God has allowed me to be in the position that I am today. People want this overnight. It's a process. There's a process in the promise. I want to encourage you in this room, don't give up. Love this story in 2 Kings, and I'm ending with this. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14 through 19. It says, when Elisha had fallen sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash, king of Israel, went down to him and wept before him, crying, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. So he took a bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, draw the bow, and he drew. And Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands, and he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Syria. For you shall fight the Syrians in Aphek until you have made an end of them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground with them. And he struck three times and stopped. Then the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have struck down Syria until you made an end of it. But now you will strike down Syria only three times. It says in the word of God that if the king would have kept going, he would have fully conquered Syria. But it says that he stopped after the third time. It says that he was only able to conquer Syria three times. How many of you have stopped? How many of you have given up? Wonder why we haven't seen the promises of God be fulfilled. Could it be that all God requires of you is just to keep going? Just to keep striking the ground? Just to be persistent? Just to be obedient? My fear is that I stop. My fear is that I end up like the king, only able to conquer Syria three times, only able to go a certain amount of time. My prayer is that I keep striking the ground. See, the reason why the Israelites were able to see victory over Jericho is because they continued to move forward no matter what. They continue to have faith. They continue to be obedient even when it felt useless. Even when it felt like nothing happened, they remained faithful. I'm here to tell you, even when you feel like nothing's changing, God is moving. Even when it feels like coming to church is useless, God is moving still. Even when it feels like coming to church and all you're doing is sitting people down, God is still moving in your life. It's when we stop that we fail to receive the promises of God. And I believe too many of us are allowing the promises of God be robbed from us because you simply won't keep going. Here to encourage you, just keep going. Keep going one more day. Every day is a small victory in the kingdom of God. Because there's going to be a time for you when it's time to shout. Galatians 6:9, and I'm ending with this. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. You just keap going, you're going to reap a harvest, a blessing. Why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes?
Thanks so much for listening to this message from Reach Church Paramount. To stay connected with us, follow us on Instagram or Facebook at Reach Paramount. To give and support this podcast and ministry, visit our website at reachparamount.com/give.